around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here. We'd like to welcome each of you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It is my heartfelt prayer that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has touched your life today. I can assure you, if you've taken the time today already to pray, the Lord has ministered to you in some capacity. There's no greater edification, neither exhortation and comfort, than being in the presence of the Lord. Psalms 16, verse 11, David said, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." Some of you today may have very little joy. You may feel like you have nothing to thank God for. You have nothing to worship Him for. But if you'll search your heart, you'll look deep down inside your heart. There's always something to thank God for. God has been so good to each and every one of us. He's blessed us when we were not worthy of being blessed. He protected us. He preserved us. If Satan could have had his way, you would have been extinguished a long time ago. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherein with his great love, he loved us. He still loves us. He commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said it this way in John 15, 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." Abraham was the friend of God. You and I can be the friend of God. Friendship is powerful. Friendship can bond people together and make them so strong. God wants us to be bound together in Him. And if we are bound to Him, if our bond with Christ is truly, truly deep, no matter how great the opposition, no matter how great the tempest or the storm, God will be faithful to you to see you through. I would be derelict if I did not admit the journey oftentimes is arduous and difficult. John 16, 33, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Acts 14, 22, "That we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." It will be through great tribulation we get in to the kingdom of God. That's what Peter or Paul said. That we must, through much, great, mega tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Because it is a birth pain. Birth pangs, plural. But God's grace is going to help us get in to the kingdom of God. We want to go back today and pick up on the nation of Israel. As I said, Christians are beginning to bash, condemn. They don't understand their Bible. They don't understand covenant. Sadly, Christians today don't understand anything because the pulpits today don't preach much of anything. The message is shallow. The message has no depth, no breadth. You know, as a Christian, I want to learn. I want to learn. I don't try to find out what is popular with men, people. I seek God. Lord, you give me the message. You give me what the people need to hear. I too am a pupil. I too am a student. I need the leadership of God in my own life. Those who have a voracious appetite for God and His Word will know and understand the deeper things of God. Abraham was childless, yet God had promised him seed. 2.5 decades had passed. No doubt Abraham and Sarah's faith began to wane. God's promised. We've not seen it. So, as the covenant continues in Genesis 15, which began in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Abraham talks to God about this promised seed. Listen to Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." For anyone to say that the covenant that was made with Abraham was solely about Jesus Christ is absolutely erroneous. Jesus did not come out of the bowels of any man. He came expressly from the Father. Jesus Christ is the greatest revelation of God. I said Jesus Christ is the greatest revelation of God. When you see Jesus, you have seen the Father. No man has ever seen God. No man will ever see God. Moses wanted to see Elohim. He said, "No, no man can look on me and live. It is not possible. It'll never happen." But when men see God, who they see is Jesus Christ. I want to look at Genesis 15, verses 1 through 4 in the NLT, the New Living Translation. It reads this way. "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great.' But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all these blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of mine own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." To say that the promise made to Abraham was about Jesus Christ and singular, and that's the end of it, in my opinion, is absolute error and heresy. Jesus, as I said, did not come out of the bowels of any man, the inner being, the loins. He came from God the Father. As I said last week, there was no coitus. There was no intercourse in the birth, the conception of Jesus Christ. It was holy. It was godly. It was righteous. It was pure. It was undefiled. It had no application, connotation relative to any sexuality. That did not exist in this. This is all divine. But Isaac was conceived through his and Sarah's loins. He did come forth out of the bowels, the innermost part of Abraham. And God kept his word. Looking back at the promised seed and speaking of a mass of people who will come to fruition, we look at Genesis chapter 13 and verse 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. It is impossible to number the dust of the earth. If Christ Jesus was the promise given to Abraham, then why number his seed? One, and God would use the terminology number, count, addition, multiplication, etc. You see, this is the heresy, fallacy, mendacity that men use to attack the nation of Israel. If you cannot fathom and grasp Romans chapter 9, verse 6, you'll never get anywhere in spiritual things with God. They are not all Israel that are Israel, Paul said. It is through the Jewish people we receive the Word of God. The Word of God was given to us by Jewish men. They were inspired by the Holy Ghost, and they penned what God gave them. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came in the old time, not by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These were holy men, H-O-L-Y, righteous, godly men. These were not just any men. These were God's hand-selected men. And this is why when you read the Pauline epistles, you see, and we'll get into more of this, that Paul always gives the Jewish people a measure above the Gentiles. Yet though Paul says in Romans 3, God is no respecter of persons. To understand that, you have to understand God's decision and God's election. There were 12 sons of Jacob. Out of the 12, God called Joseph to be one, to be a preserver of their humanity. You see, in essence, they were all equal. They were all Jacob's sons. But see, God got involved through his sovereign will. All those 12 sons were conceived. All of them were born. All of them were named. And their names all have significance. But to Joseph, God said, I'm going to touch your life. You're going to be different, not because of your humanity, but you're going to be different because I have touched you. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was different because God touched her. The Apostle Paul was different because God touched him. The disciples that Jesus called and ordained were different. Why? Because God chose them. As I said some weeks ago, God called me to preach. God called me into the ministry. I'm just like anyone listening to this broadcast, but the difference is God said, you're going to be a messenger for me. And as I said also, God didn't say, now because you're my messenger, you need to pray an hour every day. You need to fast 30 days out of the year. You need to pay 20% tithes. You need to do this and this and this. The things that I do relative to my devotion is because that's my heart. No two men are alike. Athletes, you always have the athletes who train far more. Why? They want to be the very best at what they're doing. Others train, but not to the degree that one athlete trains. That is something that is innate. That is something that they have committed to. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and whatsoever state I am there with to be content. Paul said, I learned this. It wasn't a gift. It wasn't another measure of the anointing. He said, I've learned this. Then in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said, for I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Notice the verbiage. Paul made a decision. He said, for I have determined, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I determined. See, you determine some of the things in your life. You may not want to accept the responsibility for some of the things you did, but there are things in your life that you determine, you assess, you evaluate, you ruminate, you contemplate, you meditate, you are judicious or lack of it. Paul said, for I determined. This was a commitment, personal commitment, personal endeavor, personal effort that Paul chose for himself. You know, people have questioned me, how long do you pray? How much do you fast? How much time do you spend in the Bible? And I understand they're looking for a method, an equation that will get them to where they want to be or get them in a comparable manner. I'm not an instrument for measurement. They that compare themselves among themselves and they that measure themselves among themselves, Paul said, you're not wise. You get where you get spiritually because of your commitment. God calls, God chooses, God elects according to his determination, predestination, and election. God, just like men, makes choices. You've heard me use the term anthropomorphism. What does that mean? Giving God human characteristics like mankind. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cries, Psalms 34:15. God is described as having eyes and ears. When you see Jesus, he has eyes, he has ears. But God, you can't do that with God. God is a spirit, Jesus said, John 4. God is a spirit. As I said a moment ago, Jesus Christ is the greatest revelation, the greatest manifestation of God. Nothing could be higher because he is the expression of the Father's heart, the Father's bosom. The The reason we don't understand some of the deeper things of God is because we do not pursue them. God did not make covenant with Abraham and it evolved around the man, the birth of Christ Jesus. It was about his seed, beginning with Isaac and then Jacob and then the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes, Jesus would come through the loins of Mary, the human part, the incarnate part, but not the God part. Jesus Christ did not come out of the loins and the bowels of Abraham. Isaac did. So Abraham is given this dynamic promise. Your seed will be so vast, they will have to be numbered. How can you then say one? This is the foolishness and the cynicism of men. God does not lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God, Elohim, is not a man. Jesus said he is a spirit. That's why he's omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, all power, knows all things, can be everywhere at one time. He said to Jeremiah, am I not a God that's at hand and a God that's far off? God can be right beside of you and be right beside of somebody in China, but that's far off from you, but not God. That is the vastness, the omnipresence of God. So God makes covenant with Abraham. Now, listen to this in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 14, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Again, it refutes the ideology and the mindset. The promise to Abraham was only about one individual, and that individual being Jesus Christ. All these scriptures refute the heresy of that. I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. I look at that this way. Elohim is going to multiply the man Abraham, and it will be through his biological seed and progeny. He's going to multiply the man. Not identically, he will multiply his seed. I am multiplied through my children, my offspring, my seed. They have children, offspring of their seed. But it began with me, and then my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, etc., etc., etc. It began with Abram. God brought this to fruition. One translation of Hebrews 6 and 14 says, I will multiply your descendants beyond number, meaning your seed will be innumerable. You can't count it. How then can anyone suggest, remotely suggest, the covenant to Abraham was about one man, one person, Jesus Christ, when yet we see the term multiply, multiplying, numbered, etc.? Again, I will say it repeatedly, with rapidity, both intellectually and spiritually dishonest. That's all that is. The last 20 years, God has dealt with me profusely about accuracy. Accuracy. Today, the church is so flippant. I hear people say, I don't believe that's what that verse means. When they say that, they're shadowing, casting shade on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What you're saying is, I don't believe him. Because the Word is Jesus Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God was incarnate in Jesus Christ. He dwelt among men as the Word of God. Yet people have the audacity to say, I don't believe that. They don't want to believe what the scriptures actually say. Because they don't like the reproof, the rebuke, the instruction, and the correction that the Word of God brings to men. One of the great dangers in ministry today is that men do not regard the fact they're going to give an account for their ministry, what they preached, what they did not preach, what they were afraid to preach, because they wanted to be popular. They wanted people to like them. They didn't want to say to this man or that woman, you're living in sin. That sin will damn your soul. That sin will take you to hell, and that sin will separate you from God. They dare not say those things because they want to be liked. So you don't say certain things in ministry. But see, that's a hireling. That's right. That is nothing but a man that is for hire. And all men, all women who claim they're called of God to be a minister will stand before God and give an account for everything they preached, or mainly what they failed to preach. They failed to tell the people the truth. You know, we watched the elections in Virginia, wanted to keep the House and flip the Senate, the state legislation. It didn't happen. Ohio embraced abortion. I don't want to hurt you or harm you or sadden you. This thing is not going to turn around without a move of God. People want their wicked lifestyle. They want their sodomy. They want their bestiality. They want their transgenderism. They want their fornication. They want their drugs. They want their alcohol. They want to lie, cheat, and steal. That is the nature, that is the Adamic nature of men. The only thing that can change that nature is the Holy Ghost and the blood of the Lamb. Men are animals. Men are beasts without God. The barbarity of the attack on Israel through Hamas. And I've told you, Hamas in the Hebrew means violent and violence. It's spelled C-H-A-M-A-S in the Hebrew, Hamas. Why did they choose that name? Because that's who they are. Then we have people running around embracing them. And the cliche, the chant, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. That is extermination of Israel. That is nothing but a modern Holocaust. That's right. Nothing but a modern Holocaust. And yet, people don't see or say the right things. God help you, God help me to see the world through the lens of God's Word and through the lens of the Holy Ghost. Do not allow, Lord, don't suffer me to see anything through my eyes. Let me see it through your eyes. Can I tell you that God sees everything correctly? Can I tell you that we are fallible and we many times are unable to see everything correctly? When Jesus Christ returns to this planet called Earth, sets up his millennial kingdom in the earth and begins to reign, he, of course, will be the ultimate and righteous judge. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem or the seed of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. A rod. Jesus, as I've said repeatedly, will rule with the rod of iron. Verse 2, Isaiah 11 and 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is talking about the millennial reign. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Even Jesus Christ will have the awe and the fear and the reverence of God. Why? He's a holy man. Though he is God, he is a holy man. Verse 3, Isaiah 11 and 3. And shall make him of quick understanding. In the Hebrew, that word quick understanding means it'll be like a sense of smell. You won't get anything past Jesus Christ and the millennial reign. It'll be like a sense of smell. Oh, that smells like apple. That smells like orange. That smells like grape. That smells like cinnamon. Whatever it is. That's what that means in the Hebrew. Scent or smell. That's how quick his understanding will be. And it will be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. He will not judge by what he sees. See, sometimes what we see can be very misleading. Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He will not judge in any capacity by hearsay. He will not judge by innuendo and rumor. He will know, praise God, Christ will know everything, and it will be absolutely correct. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. That tells you there will be poor people in the millennial reign of Christ. It also applies to poor in spirit. And he will reprove with equity. Equity. The word reprove there in the Hebrew means he will argue with equity. It's like an advocate in the court. The lawyer. No one can argue like Christ in his court. He will argue with equity, fairness for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Revelation 19 says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with the rod of iron. That's Revelation 19, verse 15. We forget the ferocity in which Christ will reign in the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. What does that tell you? There will be death penalty in the earth, and he will be the one that will adjudicate and slay the wicked. Admittedly, I don't understand how all of this will unfold in the millennial reign of Christ. But I promise you, whatever God through Jesus Christ does in the earth will be absolute righteousness. Verse 5, Isaiah 11, verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. His loins will be girded about with nothing but absolute righteous truth. I rejoice to see the day Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, all these compromised, liberal, dishonest leadership in the earth will be done away with. That may seem a little abrasive to you, but sin is destroying America and the world that we live in. I am not destroying America. My government is. Starting in 2026, they'll have a kill switch on every automobile. They will turn off your car just like they'll turn off your cell service. I know people don't believe this stuff. Why would that become law? And by the way, I forget the congressman's name who tried to amend the bill, but they wouldn't amend it. You think because we have a Republican majority in the Congress that we have righteousness? You're badly mistaken. You are badly fooled. These people are sold out. Some more than others, but they're all tainted in some capacity. Our government attacks everything that is righteous. You're not going to solve this sin-laden nation's problem with another candidate, another individual. We need a move of God Almighty. We need a Josiah to stand up in the land and tear down the idols and tear down the wickedness and tear down the sinful things. But oh no. The things we're discussing right now in America, we weren't even talking about them 10 years ago. Who ever thought about people coming along saying, I'm a transgender. I'm fluid. I'm woke. Communism has found a lodging place in America. They sell us out every day. 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look at the enormity of money that's being spent and wasted. The interest on the debt in America has reached nearly $1 trillion a year. Trillion. How many schools and hospitals could be built, roads, highways, bridges, for $1 trillion, $1,000 billion? These numbers are staggering. I read every day about the giveaway of our government, what they're giving to foreign countries. California just gave the federal prisons, state prisons, $4 million for sex change surgery on inmates that are on death row. Now, does that make any sense? A man is sentenced to death, and yet you're going to spend taxpayer money for sex operations, physical operations in their bodies, yet they're on death row? Where's the common sense in that? Wicked leadership is running this nation, and they're ruining it. They're running it, but they're ruining it. They're driving it into the ground. They're destroying this nation. Personally, I believe it'll be a miracle if there are elections next year. And if they are, there'll be so much cheating, it will beg description. These people cheat. They're like Dale Earnhardt in NASCAR. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. See, here's the problem. You and I are honest people. I do not lie. I do not cheat. I despise those who do. I loathe men who fudge, edge just a little bit. You've got to be pure in heart, clean hands. You've got to be righteous, and that's only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God working fluidly in your life. I don't stretch the truth. I don't wind any yarn. That's not who Christians are. I said this 30 years ago. If everyone had to do this one thing in life, you had to do it. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. You must do it. What kind of a world would we live in? And what is that one thing all men must do? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. That's all. What kind of a world would we live in? Well, we couldn't believe it. We couldn't imagine a world where every time you ask a question or you're dealing with someone about some issue, it is all truth. No shade, no sleight of hand. It was all the truth. What, my Lord, our world would be unbelievable. There's something about the power of truth. There is something dynamic. There is something dunamis about truth, truth and righteousness. Well, that's who Christ is. Christ is the embodiment. Christ is the personification of absolute truth and righteousness. Oh, I would to God that all men, all women, be honest and forthright and tell the truth. But sadly, that doesn't exist much in America anymore. They know they're lying. People, just like the Holocaust, deny the day 1,400 Israeli people were killed. Babies put in ovens and broiled. People say that didn't happen. Yet they have showed it to the media for those who want to know the truth, but then there are others who say that never happened. These kids are brainwashed in our colleges. See, this has been a systemic, systematic agenda to take this nation down. And I've said it for many, many, many years now. Every generation keeps losing something. Every generation becomes more weak and more anemic. I always use the analogy, those of you that are old like me, you'll remember the cassette tape. You get a brand new cassette tape, and the music is awesome. The clarity, the highs, the lows, the mids, the music, the singing, it's great. But you say, well, I'm going to make a copy of that, put one in my truck and make another copy, put in my car and maybe another copy in my house or whatever. But if you take that master and make a copy, that copy is better known as a one generational lost. Now you take that copy and you make another copy off of that copy, you have two generational losses, and so on. By the time you get to the third, there's so much hiss, so much other chaotic noise in the background. It takes away from the quality. It takes away from the quality of what was once beautiful, a master copy, virtually unflawed. But every time you make a copy, you lose something. That's what's happened in America. I see it. I see it. I see me. I see my children. Their children are coming along. What I would have disciplined my children for, my children don't discipline their children for the same thing. It's the nature of the beast. You just keep losing something. Why do we have so many children, young people, teenagers, drugs, alcohol, promiscuous? They're looking for something to fill the void, the emptiness, the vacuity that is in their lives, and that is missing is God. Even when I was in school, we read the Bible, we prayed, we pledged allegiance to the flag. That's all gone. Kids don't even know who God is. And the one that's being portrayed today is a genie in a bottle. It's just all about good things. There's no discipline. There's no reproof. There's no rebuke. There's no correction. Oh, I know I'm old school, and that's all right. I want to make it. And the end. Let me get back to Abraham and how that God said he was going to add to Abraham. And by addition, he was going to multiply the man through his seed or progeny. Hebrews chapter 7. Now listen to this. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he, Levi, was yet in the loins, or the procreative power, of his father Abraham when Melchizedek met him. Remember, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. But see, the Apostle Paul is giving us a far greater revelation than what we see on the surface, authenticating it wasn't about Abraham having one seed, the Messiah. It was about the multitude of numbers of people and nation in his loins. Let's look at that quickly. Genesis 14, 17, and he, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him, Abraham, after his return from the slaughter, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavuot, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, or Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine, your first communion service, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, Abraham, and said, Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithe of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. But I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich, or Abram. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Looking again at Hebrews 7, verses 9 and 10, and as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes. Remember, the Levites did not get land after the Exodus as their inheritance. The Lord was their inheritance. They worked in the temple. The Lord was their inheritance. Levi also, who received tithe. They lived, they had their sustenance provided by those who tithe to the work of God. Paid tithes in Abraham. So through Abraham and his progeny, tithes would be paid to the Levites. Watch this. For he, meaning Levi, was yet in the loins or the procreative power of his father Abraham when Melchizedek met him. How can these people say then, oh, the covenant with Abraham was one only about Jesus Christ, yet when the scripture says Levi, that's where Moses came from, Aaron came from, their dad's name was Amram, he came from the tribe of Levi. All of these came out of the loins of Abraham. And yet people twist the scriptures. Admittedly, I loathe those who distort the truth of God. I quote it so many times. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. So many corrupt God's word today. They do, and they do it purposefully, intentionally, and willfully. They distort the truth. They lie. Paul said, I speak the truth of Christ, and I lie not. Paul knew men would lie. He said, I lie not. I speak the truth of Christ. I lie not. That shows you there are those who willfully, purposefully lie. 1 Timothy 2:7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity or truthfulness. That's what Paul said. I lie not. I say to you listening today, there are those who blatantly, flagrantly, willfully lie about the word of God because they have an agenda. And you know what? As Adrian Rogers, God bless his soul, he said, no man, no woman is more like the devil than when they lie. And what did the devil do in the beginning? He lied. And when ministers lie, they lie on God. When you lie about the word of God, you lie on God. But that's been historic. Even the man to whom Christ gave one talent, he lied on the Lord. He said, you reap where you sowed not. He's a liar. He sowed one talent in that man's life. Christ did. But then the man accuses Christ saying, no, you don't sow nothing and yet you reap. That's not true. That's not true. This is the world in which we live in. Matthew 25:24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. That is a lie. Reaping and sowing is a principle. Men have always lied against the Lord. And he goes on to say, and you gather where thou hast not strewed or sown. That's not true. That is not true. You have to sow something to reap something. But this wicked servant that got the one talent, he says, oh, you reap where thou hast not sown. That same spirit, it is anti-Christ. The kingdom of heaven. This is the way this story about the talents begins. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, they're interchangeable. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. Yet this man had the nerve to lie on the Lord. Oh, you reap where you don't sow anything. Hey, that would be great for all of us. Wouldn't it be great for a farmer to say, I want to harvest 100,000 bushels of corn this year, but I'm not going to sow anything. I will tell you emphatically that is impossible. You will not reap anything. Why? You didn't sow anything. That's the problem with a lot of people's finances. They just don't sow anything. And then they expect God to bless them. They expect God to bless them. Do not be one of those who lie against the Lord. Do not slander, cast shadow or shade upon his lordship. Don't do that. Seek God. You'll see where you're wrong. We all will see where we're wrong if we bother to seek the Lord. I know sometimes it's hard for us to say we're wrong, but there's a blessing in admitting the truth, the power of truth. I can't get over that today, the power of truth, the liberating power of truth. People go to a court of law to get to the truth, sadly. We're watching it right now in New York with Donald J. Trump, the judge. What a wicked creature. And that's the fear of going to court today. You go to court thinking you're going to get justice. You're going to get served justice. Like the attorney general said, I'm going to get him. Well, that's justice, isn't it? I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. No, that's wickedness. That's tyrannical. That is despotic. But that's the world in which you and I presently live in. I encourage you today to pray. Seek the Lord. Walk before him with clean hands and a pure heart. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for your prayers. I thank you. I feel, I sense your prayers for this ministry. I thank you so much for all that you do to help me, my wife, and my son to do what we do here at the Voice of Evangelism. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Lankford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020.